Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and grab them and turn with me to Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. We are taking a break in our series in Matthew, and we're going to the book of Acts. Acts is probably about 75-80% of the way through your Bible. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. And if you don't have a Bible, you can find one online, or the passage will be on the screen behind me in a moment. And we're taking a break in our series in the book of Matthew because we want to just push pause this morning, and we want to talk about really what we believe God is leading our church into this summer and how he's going to be using our church this summer. And what we're going to be doing today is really something that was just kind of a dream, a pipe dream, if you will, 4 years ago when we started our missional communities. This idea that we are in our community and embedded into lives of those around us so that we can be resources and people pointing others back to Jesus Christ. And so today we want to do that. We want to be able to be used by God to see him do something greater here and do something greater in our community and in the neighborhoods that God has placed us in. And to get there, we're going to look at the early church in the book of Acts. And we're going to see something that the early church did, where they had these men in their church that God raised up and they sent out to start other churches. And as we do that this morning, we're going to jump in and we're going to see a point that the book of Acts in these three short verses are trying to, a point that they're trying to paint for us here. And the point that we're going to see this morning is that gospel-centered churches push gospel-centered multipliers to plant gospel-centered movements. So I know that gospel-centered word, it was kind of thrown around three times, and what that means is that we as a church want to base everything that we do here on Jesus Christ. You don't need a good pastor. You don't need a better version of eldership. You don't need a better building. You don't need any of those things. What you need is a church that is faithful to Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to fail you, Chris is going to fail you, but if we're centered on Jesus Christ, that's what you need. And that's the kind of church that we see in Acts chapter 13. And that's the kind of church that we want to be. And so with that, let's just go ahead and jump into our passage this morning. Acts 13, verses 1 to 3. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so if we had time to be able to look through the first 12 chapters of Acts, what you'd find is that Jesus has risen from the dead and he's returned to heaven. And as he's returned to heaven, he has equipped his band of followers and has now given them the Holy Spirit. And as he equips them and gives them the Holy Spirit, which is one of the parts of God, as he's done that, he now commissions them to go and tell others about him. And so we see early on that the church huddles up in Jerusalem, and as they're huddled up in this city, we see persecution begins to happen for believing in Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that if you are being persecuted for believing in Jesus Christ, what would the natural result be? To either stop believing or stop telling others about Christ, right? But what we see is that this early church doesn't stop believing and doesn't stop teaching about Jesus, but rather, as they are pushed out of Jerusalem, it says as they go to all these new communities, they keep telling others about Jesus. You see, it had been so ingrained in them that Jesus is true, the resurrection from the dead is true, and it changes everything, that as they go and as they're being persecuted, I mean, to the point that some of them are being killed for their faith. And as they go, they are telling others about Jesus until they get to a city called Antioch. And here we have in this city, in Antioch, they are gathering together to do church, and now, as we see, to actually raise up people and send them off. Now, this morning, just briefly, we're going to look at three things in this passage that will really set us up for what we'll do the second half of our morning. And the first thing that we see is that churches as a whole, we must pursue gospel-centeredness. That we must pursue gospel-centeredness. If you look at verses 1 to 2, Luke writes that that in this church there are men who are gifted. And notice that they are from all over the place. We see a man from Cyrene. We see a man who is called Niger, which they believe that's because he had darker skin, so he came from Africa. We see a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, which means he was friends with a Roman. See this group of people that are so diverse, and they are worshiping the Lord, and they are hearing from the Holy Spirit. And all of that is happening because they are focused on the good news of Jesus Christ. If you look back at chapter 11, verse 26, what you'll see is that the church started, as I said, the church started because they were being persecuted, and yet Jesus had so transformed them that they gathered together, and it was at this church that they were first named Christian. And this term Christian was not an encouragement. It was a derogatory term. And they're gathering together, worshiping God, not caring what people think or say of them, because they are focused on Jesus. No matter the persecution, they keep pressing on Jesus. Okay? A lot of you are parents, so my guess is your kid has done this or your kid will do this. You ever take the tube of toothpaste and they just kind of sit there and just squeeze it more and more, and they're watching the toothpaste come out, and they think it's funny that the toothpaste keeps coming out. And no matter what you do, no matter how you squeeze that tube, toothpaste is coming out. That's what's happening to this early church. No matter what you do, no matter how you squeeze them, even to the point of death, no matter how you squeeze them, what's oozing out is the gospel, is a hope in Jesus Christ. You see, they recognize their hope is not in what they see. Your hope's not in today. Hope's not in this week. Your hope's not in retirement. Their hope is in heaven because of Jesus Christ. And church, that should be an incredible amount of hope for us as we are dealing with so many different things in our lives. That our hope is ultimately not in our circumstance or situation, but it's in Jesus Christ. And we must be a church that is focused on Jesus. The second thing that we see is that we must push gospel-centered multipliers. So we must be a church that is focused on Jesus no matter what happens, because Jesus is eternal. Jesus is the one who's purchased our eternity, that if we trust in him, we can have life and hope beyond the grave here and beyond what we see here now. But if that's true, that should cause us to raise up and push gospel-centered multipliers. Now let's look at this list again in Acts 13, verse 1. Notice who they have there. It says that there's a man by the name of Barnabas. And if you look at the book of Acts, you can find all the way back in Acts chapter 4 and verses 32 and following, you will find this man named Barnabas, who seems to be a rich man, and he is so giving that when he sees that other people in the church have a need, he goes, calls up his real estate agent, sells the property, takes the money, and says, here, you need food more than I need my property. I mean, think about how amazing that is. He's actually termed the son of encouragement. He's kind of the guy that you would love to be around, right? He's just super excited, kind of like a puppy when you come home. Dog's always excited to be around you. That's the kind of guy Barnabas is. And then we see these other guys that we don't know a whole lot about. And then we get to the man named Saul. Now, Saul was so intelligent that he was actually in the Pharisee group, in one of the leading religious groups. And when he came to faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he actually, not only did he know the Bible and is one of the best religious people you can meet, he then took 14 years off after he came to faith in Christ to study the gospel. And so this guy is incredibly intelligent. And he wrote half of the New Testament. And so we see here in this church, I mean, this is the kind of church that is exciting, and this is the kind of church that you'd want to be a part of or want to be on staff at. I mean, these guys are stellar dudes who are leading this church, and all of a sudden, they are gathering one night for a prayer meeting, and notice what happens. Verse 2 tells us, and verse 2 and 3 tell us, that as they are praying together, they experience the Holy Spirit speak to them and say, send out Barnabas and Saul, who we know as Paul. Just imagine that. Five guys on staff at this church, they're doing amazing ministry, and two of them, 40% of them, the Holy Spirit says, get them up and get them out. Not this, have one foot in this camp and kind of do ministry here and then send them over here just for a season and kind of do ministry there. No, none of that. Like literally raise them up, send them out and say, get out of here and go start churches elsewhere. That's like cutting off your right arm, church. That's like telling our whole worship team, okay, thanks for your service the last 7 years. We want you to go and start another church somewhere else. It's incredible what they're doing. It's because they have a bigger vision of what's going on, because the Holy Spirit is challenging them to a bigger vision. And what you'll see in chapters 13 and 14 is that these people didn't just, Paul and Barnabas didn't just go, but they went for a reason. Holy Spirit set them apart to go for a reason. That's the third thing that we see here. The third thing that we see is that we must plant gospel-centered movements. That the Bible constantly, the storyline of the Bible constantly calls us to be focused on Jesus. And if we're focused on Jesus, we will grow, we will raise up, we will be sent out. And as we're being sent out, we're being sent out to start movements. So again, if you look at Acts chapter 13 and 14, what you will find in those two chapters is you will find Paul and Barnabas going around to all of these new communities throughout throughout Turkey and in Cyprus. Okay, you'll find in those areas that they are going there and they are telling people about Jesus, and not just to tell a few people about Jesus, but to actually raise up a church. And they spend time there. They raise up a church. And then from there, they raise up the next church. And they go on all the way on until the point that they get to a city called Lystra. It's interesting. They get to this city called Lystra. And as they are there, the people hate them so much that they pick up stones to stone them. And they believe that Paul is actually dead. So they stopped stoning them. Now think about that. The only reason why they stop throwing rocks at you is because they think you're already dead. Not a good state to be in. Yet Paul gets up and he goes to the next community and shares the gospel, and they start a church there. You see, a good, healthy church raises people up to start new ministry, to start new movements where people can hear the truth of Jesus and be raised up to go and start new ministries and start new things. And that's really what we want to celebrate today and what we really want to be thinking about today, that 4 years ago we started with two missional communities with the hope of trying to reach this community with the good news of Jesus, trying to tell people about the hope that we found, trying to tell people where there is good, clean, refreshing water, and to point them back to that well instead of the other wells. And through that time, we've seen God multiply missional communities to the point that we now have four with the hope of a fifth one in the next year. And so this morning, I just want to provide us a space first to encourage us to keep pressing on that line, that we are just following the line of the Bible. Have you ever thought why you're sitting in here? Take a moment. How did you get in this room? Not like I drove, I walked up the steps, but how did you get in this room? Who invited you? Who invited that person? Who invited that person? And if we had the time and the know-how, we could eventually go on all the way back to the early church. You see, the reason that we're in this room is because the early church shared the good news of Jesus. Those people took it and shared the good news. They took it and shared the good news. And thousands of times down the line, we're here celebrating and worshiping Jesus Christ. And so today, I just want to provide, when we want to provide a space to be able to celebrate that, our part of passing the baton. We have the baton, church. It's now our part to actually take that and to pass it on and to keep this thing going for the glory and praise of God. And so in just a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to invite each missional community up and we're going to hear from them. We're going to hear what God is doing and what they're trusting God for. And then we're going to pray for them and pray that God is going to move this summer as we begin to connect with people on a more deeper level. And so with that, I want to invite our first missional community up this morning, and that is the missional community that meets in downtown Northumberland. And so if you're part of Josh and Angie Laubau's missional community, I want to invite you up this morning to hear a little bit about what God is doing and what they hope God will do this morning. So, yeah, down there or even right here. Yeah. I think there's a few other people still coming, so give them some. Come on over, guys. Come on over.
We're still.
Cherokee's coming.
Cherokee's coming in.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, she's coming.
Yay. All right. So. This is the downtown missional community. We were the downtown missional community that met in the church office in downtown Sunbury, and now we meet in downtown Northumberland at my house. And so we have moved there full-time. We are now meeting full-time at our house in Northumberland. And so our mission focus, which we've really laid out, is really a one-block radius around our house, as well as people we know in our community, with a heart just to reach our neighbors and get to know people and to really reach out to that group. What we found is there's actually, in our one-block radius, there's easily over 100 people living in that area, which is crazy. You don't think about it being that densely packed, but it really is with apartment buildings. And then when we add the Lewis building, which is right across, which is a retirement-type facility, there's lots of people living there. And so that is our mission focus. And so things that we have done so far this year, we have taken cookies to the neighbors. We baked a bunch of cookies and took them to the neighbors to get to know them. What I found is we have lived in Northumberland for 11 years, and I've been a pretty awful neighbor. Just kept to myself, stayed home, was cool with that. My neighbors felt the same way, and so we just didn't interact. And so we had to actually go out of a comfort zone and say, here's some cookies, we want to get to know you. And so food is usually a good start, so we took cookies around. And then at Easter, we did Easter baskets. We packed these baskets with, there was a flower and some goodies and a little booklet about Easter, and we took them around to neighbors. We did that for Easter. And now for the summer, here's our big plans. A week from today, we are doing a block party in our neighborhood. I don't know if you know, but PennDOT, in all their wisdom, has closed our street down right in front of our house. And so we're going to use that to our advantage. We're going to put a big tent in the middle of the street and invite people to come in. So we're taking what is a frustration and using it to our advantage. And so we've been canvassing the neighborhood, inviting people. We did that this week. Reached some people and handed out invitations, and we're hoping God's going to do something great through that. And just a way for us, again, to get to know more people and invite them in. We have a worship night planned in Northumberland in June. I'm stealing Dave Newberry and Becca. They're going to come help us. Northumberland does a Music in the Park every Monday. We got on that list, and we're going to sing the praises of God and hope people hear it. And so it's going to be an awesome thing. We're going to actually use that to also invite people to. That's in. Okay. Yeah, definitely should come. And then we have a couple other barbecues planned for the rest of the year in July and August, where we'll again invite people to our homes. Hopefully the street will be open, so we'll have to use the backyard, which is fine. The backyard will be great. So we have a couple of things planned there. What we've already seen is actually two people from our neighborhood who are semi-regularly attending Missional Community now. We were meeting Tuesday nights, and through some life shift, had to switch to Wednesday night. And so we've seen two people from our community who's now coming pretty regularly, which is great. It's God working. And so I would say, if I could share a prayer request, it would that we would continue to feel the Spirit's leading, and that there would be opportunities for us to get to know and share the love of Jesus with our neighborhood.
Okay. Great. Let's go to Lord in prayer for this group as they go out this summer. Father, we are grateful for the work of this missional community in getting to know people in Northumberland. We're grateful that you have orchestrated events to shift them and their focus there. And we just pray that you would help them to be faithful this summer. Father, we pray for the outreach next week. We pray that people will come. We pray for the music outreach that they're doing in a few weeks. We pray that that would be a blessing to the community. And we just pray that you would continue to give them wisdom to know how to connect with their neighbors and invite them, and to be a witness and to be a light to those around them. We pray in your name. Amen. Thanks, guys. The next group we want to bring up and hear from is the group that is focusing on Packer Street. That's led by Dave Moyer. And so if you're part of that group that's focusing primarily around Packer Street, would you come up this morning and hear from you?
Fun to see everybody lined up in the front here. So our missional community is focusing on the area in Packer Street, as Derek said. And last year, the group that we were all part of grew into two separate groups. And so we only had a little bit of time last year to really jump in to reaching out in the Packer Street neighborhood. But I'd like to say that it really, really works. And so I think we had about two barbecues last year. In the Farrow's backyard, and they're right next to the Tomans, which is great. So we've got two families really connected by a little fence there. And so able to really build relationships within their neighborhood, and they're really getting to experience their neighbors and learning to care for others in the neighborhood. And so it's just been a blessing to see how that's worked. And so this year we're going to try to continue that movement, try to reach a few more people in the neighborhood. And some of the other neighbors and Bob have been talking about a block party too, so we've got a date picked of June 15th, and they've already gotten the okay, I believe, from the city to be able to shut the street down, and so we're just in that final planning stages of getting that set up. So it seems like parties and food are the best way to reach people, so we're going to continue with that momentum. I will say we've already seen the ability to bless other people in the neighborhood. I know we're putting some things together for a neighbor who's going to have a baby that lives on Packer Street, and I'm not sure how to say this. You know, I feel like every time I go out to the grocery store, I go out to a certain place, I end up running into one of their neighbors. And so I just feel like God is just placing this person on my heart. I go to Lowe's, there he is. I go to the bank, there he is. And I see him everywhere. And so we're really starting to see God put these key people in our lives and be able to build relationships. So our hope is through food, planning some additional barbecues after the block party, and just inviting people to really deepen the relationships with the people in the neighborhood.
Great. Sounds like if we keep doing these things, we'll have to move the curtain back for a number of reasons, maybe even size issues. So let's go ahead and go to Lord in prayer for this group. Father, we are so grateful again that you have raised up this group of people who want to focus on a newer neighborhood to our church. And so, Lord, we just pray as they think about continuing having block parties or barbecues, we just pray that the barriers between them and their neighbors would be broken down. We pray that people would be open to wanting to investigate or wanting to know more about you. And Lord, we just want to be a resource. And so we just pray that these men and women will be a resource for you and for your kingdom. We pray in your name. Amen. Thanks, guys. The next missional community that we're going to hear from is the one that actually meets at my house. And so if you're part of that one, would you come up to the front? And we're going to share a little bit about what God's doing in our group. You guys come up too. You'll come up, sit down, then move on around. Right. So we meet at my house on 9th Street, and we've kind of zoned off a block or a square, if you will, that goes from Line to Reagan, 8th to Catawissa. So that makes a nice little square, which I like. And we've just been trying to get to know people. Trying to love people, care for people, and really just be a resource in the neighborhood. And the last couple of years, we have done some backyard barbecues. We have done some yard work for neighbors that need help, and we're continuing to do that. And then we've also hosted a block party as well, like the two groups before. We've actually shut down the road, and it seems to be something that people want to do again this year. And so that's what we're going to do. This summer, we're just going to keep trying to be in our neighborhood through the barbecues and block parties. But one thing that you can be praying for is we have our neighborhood, in some senses, is in a transitional phase. In the last year, we've had a lot of people sell their homes and move out, and others move in, and we just want to be a resource. We want to be a friendly face to love people as they're new to the neighborhood and just be inviting to them. And so would you pray for us that we can be that we can be people of hope, people of life to those who are moving in and don't know anybody and are looking who they can trust and who they can't trust. And so we want to be able to be that, especially as we see so many for sale signs in our area. So you can be praying for us this year on that.
All right, let's go to pray together for this group. Father, I'm so thankful for this group and what they've done already as far as to reach out. And obviously, with this special opportunity they have with this transition in the neighborhood, as people move in, what an opportunity they have just to be able to welcome them. And Lord, that they would sense your spirit through the things that they do and the block party that they hopefully have planned. Lord, that you will use that just to continually minister to those that are in their community in this neighborhood. And I pray, Lord, that the message of the gospel will be lived through their lives, and they will sense that in the way that they care for others and in this outreach they have this summer. Bless that effort, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. The next group that we want to hear from is the group that meets actually on Market Street that I lead, and Dave Newberry co-leads with me. And so if you are a part of that group, would you go ahead and make your way on up here?
So we are the South Hill Missional Community that meets on Market Street. Our emphasis is Market Street Center, or Court Street, between 11th and 12th, and some of the surrounding areas. So we are the group that multiplied off of the Packer Street, or Dave Moyer's Missional Community. So this year we're looking to have some barbecues. Food seems to be the way, again, to draw people in. Fire pits, you know, just gathering around the fire pit, roasting marshmallows, making s'mores, having conversation with our neighbors. So we're hoping that this year we can do more of that since we're so new. So we're still learning as well. The thing we're going to hopefully do that's big is a Penn State party in October outside. Set some canopies up in the driveway, have some screens. Josh is shaking his head no. Not a Penn State fan, huh? Sorry, buddy.
Have but Kleenexes when they lose.
When they win, of course. So, you know, and then some barbecues throughout the summer as well to bring our neighbors in. Some of the things that we're excited about, our neighborhood, too, is kind of going through a transition where we have a new neighbor. We're going to be losing two neighbors, but there's potential, you know, to reach new people when those houses become vacant. So that's exciting for us. The things that you can pray for, we need prayer that God opens the hearts of our neighbors to come in when we invite them. You know, we've struggled the last couple events to get our neighbors, and a lot of friends have come, but not necessarily our neighbors. So we just wanted God to open their hearts, to bring them into fellowship with us, and that we all can initiate gospel conversation with them. Just love upon them and, you know, show them that we care. So those are the things that you can pray for.
All right, let's just pray together. Father, I'm again so grateful for this outreach that Dave and his group have initiated. As Dave said, food is a wonderful way to gather people. And so as they have these just even casual times of barbecues or bonfires, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you will continue to help to build relationships, that the people that are in that neighborhood will sense the care, your love that you have for them through this group. And yes, Lord, give them wisdom as they get to know these people, and you know that as you tell us in your word that we are ready to give a defense for anyone who asks us for the hope that is in us. I pray that the opportunities they have through this summer, whether going into the fall or the party they might have outside, will lead to conversations that people will ask them what is the source of the hope that they possess. So be with them, I pray, Lord, may you use us to have an impact in their neighborhood. In Christ's name, amen.
Great, thanks. The last group I want to bring up is really a couple who the Lord brought to us about 8 months ago that really had a heart for people around them, really wanted to be equipped and sent out to be able to connect with those that God has brought to their lives as well. And so this is really the kind of path that we want to see. I mean, we heard of a group multiplying, others forming out of other groups, and that's really what we want to do. And this last couple, we're going to invite Roger and Sherry up to share a little bit more about what God is leading them to do, and really our heart over the next year, Lord willing, to be able to see them be used where they're at as well. You can come up here if you want to be next to your husband.
Everyone's
Yeah, one of the things that led us down here to Sunbury City Church was our communication we had with Derek one afternoon, and sort of explained to us what missional community was. And it was something that just Sherry and I actually had an interest in within our own community. So we got to talk to Derek and eventually started coming down here because we wanted to learn more. What is a missional community? What do you do within the community? What's the purpose of the community? And how we use that as an outreach within our own neighborhood. So it was just a time that we want to come down here. We want to learn what mission community really is and what it means in the lives of our lives and then the lives of our community.
Our neighborhood is a rural neighborhood. It actually winds around some farmers' fields. And we have lived there for almost 40 years. And Raj and I became increasingly burdened that here we are. We have experienced the goodness of God. We are safe from our sin, the power of sin, and can experience what it means to be satisfied in His love. And we see these souls in our neighborhoods. Five of those neighbors lost their spouses. And they're people just like us, struggling with ups and downs of whether it's financial, health, just family, your own sin, the sin of other people. They're struggling just like us. And here we sit without ever sharing the good news. And so Raj and I were really hungry to learn. And so we were so excited to hear about this. And so our own missional community is actually serving to teach us how to be more effective in our own neighborhood. And the exciting thing is it's just wonderful to see, even in our own missional community, you know, the hunger and the growth that we see in some individuals that just want to know more about the Lord. So it's an exciting time, and we do covet your prayers for us.
Yeah, we have a couple plans for the summer within our community. We wanted to try and have a campfire some evening. We wanted to possibly even have a community picnic. We had in the past, we had an open house at our house around Christmas time. And Sherry had a Saturday morning Megs and Muffin, or Mugs and Muffin. Yeah, that's right. Mugs and Muffin. I get it right. So that's a couple things that we have planned. We have here with us a couple from our community, our neighborhood with us, that they were both at, or they attended our Christmas time, and she was with our Ladies Mugs and Muffin time. So we are grateful that the Lord is using us, hopefully within our own community.
Hopefully, Roger, you'll get that Mugs and Muffin thing down. You need to get that done.
I'll just enjoy the Mugs and Muffin.
No, but isn't this wonderful? Because if you look at, you know, them experiencing missional community and seeing the heart of how to reach a neighborhood and taking that to their own neighborhood, it's convicting to me, because I live in a similar neighborhood, you know, and so grateful for your heart for that. So let's just pray for this couple. Father, you know, I'm so grateful for Roger and Sherry, first that you've brought them here to Sunbury City Church, and with such a wonderful spirit to come to learn, and Lord, then to even just reveal to them, looking around their own neighborhood and seeing the fields that are white with harvest, people that they care about, they live next to, and yet that they don't know. And I sense that in each one of the missional communities today, that all of a sudden that you have helped us to have eyes to see those that we live next to, those that we pass by it, and that we interact with regularly, or that we can reach out, that we see them as opportunity to share the good news of the gospel. So, Father, to pray that you'll be with Roger and Sherry as they even start to plan another movement in their own neighborhood. Lord, may you give them, not only give them wisdom, but Lord, I pray that you would just give them wisdom as far as in how they reach out, what they do, and the initiatives that they have, and that the neighbors, that they would sense the love of your spirit through them. So I just ask again, you'd be with them this summer as they plan these events. In Christ's name, amen.
So really what you just heard through those four groups and potentially a fifth group is really a continuance of the command that Christ has given to us. At the end of his life, he said in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, that we are called to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that he has commanded until the very end of the age. So, church, we are sent to do that. And it's interesting, right before that, Jesus says that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. So we don't go in our own power. We don't do this in our own way, our own method, our own thinking. We do this in the power of the Holy Spirit. We let God work in us, and we are faithful, and we leave the results to him. And so I just wanted to give you a bit of a picture of what we're trusting the Lord to do. I want to continue to bring us to that, to remind us of that's why we're here as a church, guys. We want to see people experience the hope and the grace of Jesus Christ. Let me close our time, and then we'll move into a time of response through worship and giving of our tithes and offerings. Let me close to pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We do thank you for an opportunity to just hear what you're doing. Father, we need you. We know that we can't do anything apart from you. We know that we want to try, and yet we often try in our own way, in our own power. And so, Lord, we just humbly ask that you would show up. That you would show up in each event that we do, that you'd show up in our hearts, you'd prepare us, that you'd help us to see the men and women that you bring into our midst, that we would understand that they are created in your image, they are valuable. And so, Lord, we pray that we would know how to love and care for them well, Father. We ask these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.